Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build a tight old-school DNB subsystem in Ableton Live 12, and then make it flexible with macro controls so it actually performs like an instrument. The goal here is not just to make a bass sound. We're building a low-end framework that can sit under fast breakbeats, stay solid and mono, add movement without wrecking the mix, and shift between clean sub, dirty roll, and heavier drop energy with just a few knobs. This is perfect for jungle, rolling DNB, old-school rave energy, and darker half-step-inspired bass lines. We'll use stock Ableton tools like Operator, Waveeditable, EQ8, Saturator, Utility, Auto Filter, Compressor, Drum Bus, and of course instrument racks with macros. By the end, you'll have a bass rack that feels musical, mix-friendly, and fast to shape while you're arranging. First, start with a clean MIDI bass track, drop in an instrument rack, and if you like, group it immediately so you're working inside a rack from the start. The point is to keep the workflow organized, because once you start mapping controls, you want everything in one place. Now write a simple bass pattern. Keep it short and punchy. Think root, fifth, octave, maybe a few small jumps, but leave space for the kick and snare. Old school DNB bass is usually more about groove and placement than huge melodic movement. It should feel like it's talking to the break, not fighting it. Now let's build the sublayer. Load up Operator first. Use oscillator as a sine wave and keep the other oscillators off for now. This is your clean fundamental. You want this part to be boring on purpose. That's a good thing. If the sub sounds exciting on its own, it's probably too busy. Set the attack fast, basically 0 to a few milliseconds. Keep the sustain full or close to it, and use a short release so notes stop cleanly. In DNB, you really want the sub to get out of the way of the kick and snare. If necessary, keep it mono and set the voices low. The cleaner this layer is, the better your whole low end will translate. Next, add a second layer for audible character. Waveeditable is a great choice here. Don't go straight for a huge reese or massive detuned sound. We're not building the final boss of the bass world yet. We just want a layer that helps the bass read on smaller speakers, while the sub stays intact. Pick a basic waveform, maybe something sine-like, triangle-like, or a soft saw. Put it low in the register, and use a low-pass filter to keep the highs controlled. A tiny bit of drive is fine. If you know what you're doing with unison and the low end stay stable, you can use a little. But in most cases, keep it restrained. The job of this layer is audibility, not chaos. Now add a third layer if you want more character and motion. This layer should not dominate the sound. It should only appear when you need more energy, especially in the drop. Think of it as the excitement layer. Maybe it uses a slightly brighter wave, a bit of resonance, some drive, or a more animated filter response. Again, subtle at first. We're setting up a system, not maxing everything out. Now let's add processing inside the rack. A useful chain here is EQ8, saturator, auto filter, utility, and then compressor or glue compressor if needed. With EQ8, keep it gentle. You can clean up mudness if the mid layer gets boxy, often somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz, but be careful not to cut into the meat of the sound. If you're shaping the sub itself, don't mess with the fundamental unless there's a real problem. Saturator is excellent for DNB bass because it adds harmonics, which helps the bass speak on smaller speakers. Keep the drive modest. A little goes a long way. Use soft clip if needed, and trim the output so you're not just making it louder by accident. For the sub, keep the subtle. For the mid layer, you can push it a bit more. Auto filter is one of the best devices to map to a macro. It lets you darken the bass in the intro and open it up in the drop. Start with a low pass filter and a sensible cutoff point. Add only a little resonance if you want some movement. Too much resonance can make the bass shout when it should be rolling. Utility is your mono and width control. For the low end, keep it centered. Width at 0% is a strong move for the sub layer. If you have stereo character on higher layers, that's fine, but the actual low frequencies should stay locked in the center. If you add a compressor or glue compressor, use it gently and only when it helps the bass sit with the drums. Side chaining from the kick is very useful here. You don't need huge pumping unless that's the vibe. Usually, just a few dB of gain reduction is enough to make the groove breathe. Keep the attack fast enough to get out of the kick's way and set the release to move with the rhythm. Now group the whole thing into a proper instrument rack if it isn't already grouped. This is where the power starts. Inside the rack, organize the chains so you've got a sub chain, a mid chain, and a grit or motion chain. Think of these as three responsibilities. One chain handles the pure fundamental weight. One makes the bass audible on small speakers. One adds excitement when needed. Balance them carefully. The sub should be dominant. The mid layer should sit under it. The grit layer should be even lower in level, just enough to add edge and personality. You want that layer to be felt before it's fully heard. Now comes the fun part. Macro mapping. Map macro 1 to sub level. This can control the sub-chain volume or utility gain on that chain. This gives you quick control over how much fundamental you want in each section. Map macro 2 to drive. Link it to saturator drive, and maybe a little extra drive on the mid layer if needed. This is your old school grit control. Map macro 3 to tone. Connect it to auto filter cutoff, and if useful, a gentle EQ move on the character layer. This lets you move between darker and brighter sections without changing the notes. Map macro 4 to movement. Use this for filter envelope amount, filter cutoff on the mid layer, or even a tiny pitch envelope if you want that subtle talking, wobbling behavior. Keep it small. In DNB, movement should feel intentional, not seasick. Map macro 5 to mono focus. This can control the width of the mid or grit layers, or tighten the stereo feel of the non-sub content. The goal is to keep the low end centered and focused. Map macro 6 to drop energy. This can raise the grit layer, increase drive a little, open the filter, or push the overall intensity of the rack. This is your performance macro. It makes the bass feel like it wakes up for the drop. When you map these controls, be smart with the ranges. This is important. Don't map full range, extreme movement unless you actually want chaos. For bass, smaller macro ranges are usually better. A little filter shift can be huge in context. A few dB of drive can be plenty. A small width change can be enough. The most useful part of the macro range is often in the middle, not at the edges. Now check the groove with the drums. Old school DNB bass lives or dies by how it interacts with the kick and snare. If the kick hits and the bass vanishes too much, your sidechain or note placement might be too aggressive. If the bass clouds the snare, shorten the notes, reduce the release, or pull back the low mid range. Always listen against a breakbeat, not in solo for too long. This is a really important teacher tip. Think in layers of responsibility, not just layers of sound. One layer should hold the fundamental, one should help audibility, and one should add excitement. If one chain tries to do all three, the low end usually gets blurry. Now let's automate the rack across the arrangement. In the intro, keep the sub a little lower, darken the tone, and reduce the drop energy. You want space and tension. In the build, slowly raise the drive and open the tone a bit. Add a touch more movement so it feels alive. In the drop, bring up the sub level, increase the character layer, and keep the mono focus tight. For breakdowns or switch-ups, pull the sub back, close the filter down, and then slam it back open when the phrase returns. That contrast is huge in DNB. You don't always need more notes. Sometimes a simple macro move creates more drama than rewriting the whole pattern. If you want a darker or heavier feel, keep the dirt in the mids and not in the sub. That's a big one. The clean sub should stay stable, while the aggression lies higher up, roughly in the 150 Hz to 2 kHz region. That way the bass has attitude without losing club weight. You can also make a ghost layer if you want more depth. That might be a filtered saw, a slightly detuned oscillator, or even a quiet noise texture. Keep it low in volume and map it to a macro so it only appears in the drop. This is a great way to add energy without touching the fundamental. Another strong move is to use very small pitch movement on the mid layer. A tiny pitch envelope can create that classic old-school wobble or talk without sounding modern and overdone. Just a little is enough. If you hear it obviously as a special effect, it's probably too much for this style. And here's a classic arrangement trick. Shape the bass around the snare. In jungle and old-school DNB, the snare is king. Leave space around it. Let the bass answer after the crack. That call and response feeling is part of what makes the groove hit. If you want even more movement, try drum bus carefully on the bass group or mid layer. Keep the drive low, use crunch subtly, and be very controlled with the boom. It can add weight and attitude fast, but it can also get out of hand if you push it too far. Let's do a quick practice approach. Build a 2-bar old school DNB bass rack in F minor or G minor. Use operator for the sine sub, wave eatable for the mid layer, and add saturator, auto filter, utility, and your 6 macros. Write short notes with space for the kick and snare. Then automate tone in the intro, drive and drop energy in the drop, and mono focus so it only tightens the non-sub layers. The goal is to make the same MIDI feel like it has multiple states without rewriting the part. That's the big idea here. The rack becomes an arrangement instrument. Macros aren't just mix controls, they're performance controls. They let you make the bass darker for the intro, heavier for the drop, and more articulated without constantly editing clips. Before you move on, check the bass at low monitor volume 2. That's a really useful test. If you can still hear the groove and the note shape quietly, the harmonic layer is doing its job. If it disappears completely, you may need a bit more mid-range presence rather than more sub. To wrap this up, you've now got a practical Ableton Live 12 workflow for gluing old-school DNB sub with macro controls. You learned how to layer a clean sub, a mid-bass, and a character layer. You learned how to use operator and wave editable to build a DNB-friendly bass sound. You learned how to shape it with EQ, saturation, filtering, utility, and compression. And most importantly, you learned how to map macros so the bass can evolve across the arrangement without breaking the groove.